Luke 19, very familiar, very familiar. If you've been in church any length of time, actually, if you've been alive any length of time, you've probably heard, taught, or talked about, or sung about, or preached about. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And everybody's been familiar with him, and he is a great, great example of salvation. And we know that he got saved. We don't have to imagine that, or we've got the facts, is what I'm saying, because of what is stated here in these verses. And I want to start reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse number 10. We're going to be dealing with salvation of Zacchaeus, and I've preached from this text before, but one of the areas, and I'll just mention this up front, one of the areas that the Lord showed me a different light on is the press. In verse 3, where he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. There's a whole other light there that I'd like to give to you this morning. I believe that you'll be able to see in concerning that. Instead of it being negative, there's a positive, several positives there. But we want to look at that this morning. Let's start in verse number 1. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the reading of God's inspired, infallible word, the King James Authorized Bible. Verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And I believe verse number 10 is a summary of what had just taken place between Jesus and a lost sinner named Zacchaeus. I believe Jesus is saying in verse 10 that you can get a proper perspective of the seeking and the saving of Jesus Christ that he gives sinners when you look at what took place in these verses with Zacchaeus. Now you can be seated. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for you being God alone in the good times and in the bad. And Lord, I pray that you will help us here this morning to take advantage of the good liberty that we have, that you have given us. Lord, thank you for the good Sunday school hour, opening of Sunday school this morning. Thank you, Lord, for everything that has transpired thus far. And Lord, we are appreciative of those that have made their way out to the house of God right here to be a part of this worship service. And Lord, I ask you, dear Father, as we now embark on doing what you've never called an angel to do, Lord, what man cannot do in and of and by himself, Lord, and that is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So I'm praying, dear Lord, for a special anointing, special fresh oil that would make preaching challenging, convicting, allow the Spirit of God to place the drawing power that only comes from the Holy Spirit in this place. And we know that no man will come unto you except they be drawn, unless there is that drawing power. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to do what you specialize in and only you specialize in, and that is saving lost, hell-bound sinners. And Lord, I pray you'd save sinners, but I also would ask you this morning that you would use this scripture, this text, to stir us as the church. Do what needs to be done this morning. Thank you for our visitors being with us, and we're asking that you give them a special portion this morning, that you will help them. And I have no clue of all that would be going on in their lives, but you do, Lord. You're in the know about every detail of what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. And so I'm asking that, Lord, a word will be given, Lord, to each of us this morning that will help us in the days to come. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we've stated earlier, that we are interested in just preaching a message this morning on the salvation of Zacchaeus. And I read this, I've read it many times and preached from it a few times, but I tell you, every time I read it, it blesses me over and over and over again. Why? Because I can relate to it. I didn't climb up a sycamore tree, but God hemmed me up on a pew. Amen. God knows how to get personal. We'll deal with that in just a few minutes. But let's look at this together if we could. And I stated at the earlier that it's evident that Zacchaeus got saved. I believe it's evident according to what this Bible says in verse number 5. Jesus closed that verse by telling him to make haste and come down, for today who's I there? Jesus is the Savior. He's speaking, I must abide at thy house. Can I just interject something here that just now came on my mind? If Jesus didn't go home with you, you didn't get saved. Now that's just a simple statement right there. If Jesus, if you claimed to have got saved wherever it was, and then you went home and Jesus didn't go home with you, his change didn't come with you, his new life didn't come with you, then please don't tell anybody that you got saved. Because Jesus goes home with people that he saves, amen. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what's behind that. Jesus is interested in not just saving you, but he's interested in saving your household. He's interested in going to your house, amen. He's wanting to go to your house, amen. Amen. But we know that Zacchaeus got saved, amen. Not just what he said in verse 5, the fact that I must go, I'm going to abide with you. He didn't say I'm going to go home to visit. Amen. I'm not going to go home with you to visit, but he said I'm going to go home and abide at thy house. Think about Jesus wanting to go home with you. Think about Jesus wanting to take up residence inside of you as a believer. Boy, that's good, isn't it? I'm glad Jesus is wanting to save all your family. He's wanting to save the daddy, the mama. He's wanting to save the children. He doesn't just want to save one. It's not God's will. Let me just park right here a second. It's not God's will that the family circle be broken in heaven. In fact, it's not God's will that anybody go to hell. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. When God's, amen, I'm on something right there.
I was just going to mention it and go on, but I believe I'm on something. When God saved the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, guess what happened? Jesus said that he went home with him, that his whole household got saved and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. But Scott, God wants to save our whole family. And if you're here today and your whole family, I'm talking about your immediate family, amen, that is saved, far as they all profess Christ, and hopefully there's fruit and evidence that verifies that and confirms that and supports that, you are a blessed individual, you are a blessed home, and you're to give God thanks that God has done that, that God has saved your husband and your wife and your mama and your daddy and your children. If that is the case, you ought to praise God for that. I don't hardly see how parents can sleep too good anyway with their children lost, or one of their children lost, or two of their children lost, or all of their children lost. Do you understand, parents? Could I just kind of shake you just a little bit with God's preaching this morning, that they're just remind you, they're one heartbeat away from hell. They're just one blink of the eye away from the regions of an eternal hell. And they will never, ever, ever, ever get out if they go to that awful place. And the only way they can go is to draw their last breath without Jesus Christ. Oh, moms, dads, listen, get more serious. I know you're serious, but get more serious about the condition and the destiny of your children. Amen. Amen. God wants to save your household. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, indicating that all that's in his house had done business with God and knew God. Amen. And let me interject something here to our church. I know I said that to mamas and daddies that's got lost children or a lost child or whatever. Listen, if they come here, church, We ought to feel the responsibility to join in with that mom and daddy, to join in with that husband and wife, amen, to join in with them, to help them pray, to join in. Listen, I don't know if you still got a copy, but we have a list of the children just in our church that is not saved. We praise God. We've marked off a few of those, but there's still quite a few that come here on a regular basis that doesn't know the Lord. That doesn't know the Lord. I don't want to get comfortable with that. I don't want to get used to that. Amen. I don't want nobody to go to hell from anywhere. But Brother Rob, I couldn't think of a worse thing to think about than for somebody to go to hell off of these pews. Especially, Brother Scott, if they've been here as many times and as long as a lot of these kids have and are still lost without God. May the Lord stir us up with that. But thank God, I'm glad Jesus makes it clear that he goes home with you when you get saved. You say, preacher, I can't live for the Lord. I'm just going to mind the Lord, amen. I've got liberty right here on stuff I hadn't even thought about, but we're going to mind the Lord right here just for a few minutes anyway. Try to help us. Let the Lord help us. But you say, preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it. Don't forget the truth here that I've already pointed out, or the Lord's pointing out to us, and that is he goes home with you. It's not that he saves you and then he abandons the town and he's nowhere to be found and you're all on your own and you're trying to endure and you're trying to climb and trying to work and trying to figure it all out. No, he goes home with you. Amen. I'm glad to report this morning that I have Jesus at home in my heart. Amen. That's not a figure of speech. He does take up residence within you as a believer, praise God, when he saves you. And if he lives with you, empowers you, he'll give you everything you need. But let's move on. I know he got saved because of what's stated there. Verse 6, and of course he responded, Zacchaeus responded, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now we're just going to stop right there. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I'm seeing it in a different light even now, but that's all right. Listen to this. If Zacchaeus had stayed up the tree, every other component necessary for him to have been saved was in place. Jesus was there. Jesus had called his name. Jesus was dealing with him personally. He had a curiosity within him. He was under conviction. He was in himself. He was seeking to see Jesus. In verse number 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But had he stayed on that limb, he would have never got saved. Jesus will invite, Jesus will pursue, Jesus will pass by, Jesus will invite, Jesus will do all that's needed, but unless you respond, some of you in here, that's all that's lacking. You already know you're a sinner. You already know that. If I were to ask you, are you a sinner? Are you lost? You preach, I'm lost. I'm not saved. You already know that. You've heard enough preaching. You've heard enough teaching. You've been exposed to the gospel. Unlike millions in this world have never yet heard the gospel the first time. You've heard it many times. You already have. That is a key component. Nobody gets saved that's not lost. And so that's key. But some of you already know that. We've had children in this church raise their hand at different points and say, preacher, pray for me, or church, pray for me, that I'll be saved. You know what that's saying? I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost. Had he not responded, he would have never got saved. He'd have never got saved. But look how he responded. The Bible said, and he made haste. You know why some of you in here are not saved? I'm just going to throw it out in general, because that's all I'm doing. I'm just preaching the word and letting the chips fall wherever God wants them to be. But you know why a lot of people, some are not saved yet? You're taking too much time about it. You're waiting. What are you waiting on? You're waiting on, you figure it all out? Well, let me help you with something. You're not going to figure it all out. The ways of God are past finding out, especially when it comes to salvation. I mean, how on earth could you? I can't even explain, Brother Mark, my first birth. I can't explain how a mama and daddy can come together and a specimen like this comes out. I mean, I don't understand all that. I don't understand how that I can have life and be severed from my mama and have life and have my own soul and my own spirit, amen, and my own mind. I don't understand all that. If I can't explain the first birth, I promise you I will not be able to explain the new birth, the supernatural birth, amen. Amen. John chapter number 3. You find Nicodemus. God's dealing with him. Jesus is dealing with him. And he's looking at the whole topic of the new birth. Of the fact that a man must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Jesus said that. And Nicodemus couldn't get it. He was looking at it all through a natural mind. He was comparing it to the, he was looking at it as the natural birth. How can a man, when he is old, enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He was looking at it physically. What are you waiting on? I want to tell y'all, this short I'm standing here, God has got me on purpose sidetracked here. In fact, it's not a sidetrack, it is the track. Hey, man, that's right. What are you waiting on this morning? Zacchaeus got in a hurry. Zacchaeus made haste and come down. Jesus, in the verse prior to that, said, make haste. Jesus said, you better get in a hurry about it. You better get in a hurry about it. Amen. You better not just sit up there on the limb or sit on a pew or just take your leisure, knowing you're lost, knowing that Jesus is passing by, knowing that Jesus is conversing with you and speaking to you, and you know that he's the only one that can save you. You better make haste about it. You better put some acceleration in there. You better get in a hurry. And there's several reasons why you better get in a hurry. One is very clearly saw in our text that I was planning to mention a little bit later on. But one is that Jesus, as far as we know in the scriptures, Brother Rob, Jesus only passed through Jericho one time. What if Zacchaeus had perched up on that limb and said, you know what? Lord, I know I'm lost and I'm miserable, and I know I'm rich, but I'm miserable. I'm a man of means, but I'm miserable. I have a position, but I'm miserable. I'm empty. Amen. All the things of this world is not satisfying because it cannot satisfy. Oh, mercy. So you better make haste this morning to get saved, because Jesus may only deal with you one time. And if you look at it in this light, really, Jesus is only going to come through here, and you're only going to come through here one time. In other words, you only can get saved in this life, and Jesus came here, lived his life, and died on an old rugged cross. So you could look at it that way. Jesus came here one time, and you're only going to be here one time, and you better not let that opportunity pass you by or walk on by. But you can look at it in the fact that it's just the fact the way it is. Jesus Christ came and dealt with this young man personally. Amen. He came. Why else did he go through Jericho? Show it to me. Jesus was on a mission. Just like in John 4, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. There wasn't no other reason for him to go through Samaria, except he knew that there at Jacob's well, that there was a woman of Samaria, a wicked, ungodly woman, that even the Samaritans didn't want nothing to do with her. She had to come in a time of the day to draw water when the other women of Samaria wasn't even there. She couldn't even come when they came. She had such a bad reputation and a bad history. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus said, you know what? I must needs go through Samaria. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I must needs go through Samaria. People may think it's a detour, but it's not a detour, it's direction. Jesus said, I've got a destiny. Somebody needs me. And if I don't go to where they are, they'll never come to where I am. Oh, I'm glad. Do you remember? Come on now. Do you remember this morning when Jesus got on your trail? Jesus got on your road. Jesus found your mailbox. Jesus come to where you were sitting in a house of God. Oh yes, got in the car with you when you was driving down the road. Brother Ivan got in the tree stand with you when you was deer hunting. Amen. Son. Amen, that's right. Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. Jesus was passing by, thank God. And Jesus told him, make haste. You better get in a hurry, Zacchaeus, because I'm passing through. Yeah. You said, what would happen if Zacchaeus would have said, Lord, I'll wait. Oh, Lord's got me hung up, Brother Scott. I'll wait. I'll put it off. After all, you're probably going to come through here again. I'll catch you on the return. What if he'd have waited? Not only would we have not read the outcome that's in our Bible, but we'd have no hope of meeting Zacchaeus one day. I'm certain I'm going to meet Zacchaeus one day. Make haste and come down. Oh man, Lord's helping me right here. I hope you're listening. Better get in a hurry. Better get in a hurry. And let me say something to you younger ones. You need to make it your goal and your desire and prayer that you get saved when you're little. Because I've watched it. I've watched it in our ministry, Brother Craig. I've watched it here. That the Lord deals with kids when their heart is tender. But they wait, they put it off, they put it off, they wait, whatever reason. Amen. And I've watched it, Sister Debbie, that when they start crossing over 13, 14, 15, they get in the teenage years, all of a sudden now getting saved is not a big deal. Getting saved is not the thing that's really haunting their mind. Now popularity's in the picture. Now acceptance is in the picture. And now pleasures of sin are starting to creep in to my interest. And now you have things cluttering your mind and clouding up your mind so that you don't think clearly. Listen, if God deals with you and speaks to you this morning about getting saved, and you have thoughts like this, I'll wait, you're not thinking clearly. You've got a reason for that. You've got a reason behind that statement. I'll wait. Why? Why? Are you sure that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Can you guarantee me that you're going to be alive this evening? Can you guarantee? Come on now, I'm asking you to think. Can you guarantee me this morning? Can you lay out a certainty this morning that you can definitely be in the service tonight? Make haste. Don't delay. Don't put it off, because when you put it off, the tendency is for your heart to get harder. And your fleshly nature that's hooked up with this world and the sin and pleasures and the attractions of this world will start getting stronger. Your heart gets harder, your pull toward the world gets stronger, which means your pull toward the Lord gets less and less and less. God's word said, make haste. Make haste. And then he said something else, Brother Craig. I believe the Lord wants me to emphasize it. It's got big on the page to me. The Bible said, make haste and come down. Another thing that, you know, when I was talking about there just a minute ago about when you start getting 13, 14, 15, older, thing that starts coming in. You know, one of the things that starts coming in that will hinder everybody from getting saved is pride. You would get saved, but you don't want to come down. Whoop. You don't want to get saved because you like that up on the high horse and you like it up there where you're really up in a high position. Everybody likes you. Everybody is envious of you. It's hard to save anybody once they become prideful. Hard for Jesus to save anybody once pride creeps in and they think they are somebody. You've heard me make this statement. You've heard me make this statement. It's back in my heart again to make it now. One of the most dangerous things that ever come in the heart of a young person to hinder their spiritual life, or as I'm preaching right now, hinder their salvation, is when they first feel the pleasure of being noticed. When they start people notices the way they look and brag on them and all of that, and that has its place. But I want to tell you, once a person gets elevated up thinking, man, I'm all of that and all of this, you can't hardly reach them with the gospel. You can't hardly reach them with the gospel. Why? Because to get saved, you got to come down. Amen. You got to humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of God if you're going to get saved. That's right. Amen. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. And the Bible said, verse 6, and he made haste, that's what Jesus told him to do, and came down, that's what Jesus told him to do. And look at this. Look what happened now. The Bible said he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus received the Lord joyfully. Can I say this? I won't say it anyway, but I want to say this right here. Just a while ago, I mentioned that if your salvation didn't allow Jesus to go home with you and make a difference at your house, if your salvation didn't produce joy in your life, I wouldn't trust it. Listen, I can't tell you dogmatically you're not saved, but I can say this. I wouldn't trust it if it didn't give you joy. How could you not have joy? How could you pass from death unto life and not have joy? How could you go out from under the heap, the inescapable heap of condemnation on you, the inescapable destiny of the wrath of God and hell to come eternally? How could you miss all of that and not have joy? How could you have your sins forgiven and not have joy? How could you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and not have joy? Oh, yes. Amen. I'm not going to get into all my testimony, but I am going to say this. The night I got saved, I knew, Brother Aaron, that night I would not be going back, Brother Mark, to my life of sin. I knew it. Why? Because I had already experienced a joy that surpassed everything and anything that the world put on the table, everything that I had tried, everything that I had tasted, everything that I had drank, everywhere I'd went, everything I'd done that I was looking for, trying to find contentment, trying to find peace, trying to find joy. But I want to tell you, I knew before I got up on the inside there was a joy. The Bible describes it like this: unspeakable. Woo! All of that stuff I did in the world, I could describe it. I could rap English, what little I had, I could define it with my English language. I could describe it, man, we this and we that and this, and, you know. But you know what? Hey, it's been 37 and a half years. I've been trying to define. I've been trying to expound. I've been trying to expose. I've been trying to explain the joy that God put in my heart that night before I ever got saved. Or when I got saved, before I ever got up and confessed it. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what the Bible calls it. How many knows that? You know what? Listen, we're just out there now. We're just minding the Lord. But listen, that word full, where it said joy unspeakable and full of glory, I was doing a word study on that one time. I may have even preached it here. But I found out that same word full was used when Peter and them had caught the fish, the net. You know, they're supposed to let down their nets, and they only let down one net. And it said there that the net was so full that it was almost ready to burst. And that word full there is the same word full in Peter's got when Peter wrote about joy unspeakable and full of glory. So if you look at those two illustrations or those two passages, we ought to be so full. We ought to be stretched so tight. We ought to have so much on the inside that it's got everything stretched tight to the point that everybody around us said, they're going to pop. They're going to pop. If they sing another verse of that song, they're going to pop. If they get some more preaching, they're going to pop. If they go to another level, we'll just have to sweep them up. Amen. 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 Thank God, salvation don't ruin you. Salvation, thank God, is the answer. Salvation is what you need. Salvation is what's missing in your life. And he received him joyfully. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I can relate to all that. I can relate to all that. I'm glad Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that will come unto him. What are you waiting on this morning? I didn't get nowhere. I didn't actually get on even the track I was wanting to get on, but it don't matter what I want. It's what the Lord wants. And I want to tell you, friend, God wants to save somebody here this morning. I'm not just saying that. He deliberately turned us over and set us down where we've been the last several minutes. Make haste. Make haste. Well, I'm waiting on. All right, what are you waiting on? I'd like to know what you're waiting on. Well, I'm waiting on this big, overwhelming feeling. Can you show me a verse that would support that? Well, I'm waiting on What? Do you know you're lost? You know you're a sinner? That's the first step. Do you know that you cannot save yourself and the other things that goes with that? You can't save yourself. Church membership, baptism, good work, straightening up, reformation. None of those things will save you. You know that? You know that? Do you know Jesus is the only hope for you? Do you know that he died for you? Do you believe that? Romans very clear on it. Amen. Do you believe Jesus died for you? That he was buried, rose again? The third day? You believe that? All right, let's get it now. You know you're lost. You know all this religious stuff and straightening up and doing better and all that won't save you. You know Jesus will save you because he died for you, paid the sin debt, was buried. He himself rose from the dead the third day. So you know who the Savior is. You know who the only hope of saving you is found in Christ. So you're lost. You know what cannot save you. You know who can save you. You're still alive. You're not in hell yet. You're still alive. You're on the top side of the soul. You're still among the living. So you are a specimen of mercy this morning. You are a product of the mercy of God. Let me ask you something, lost people. Think about it. We're going to close here whenever the Lord helps me right here. How many of you lost people in here, don't raise your hand or answer out loud, just in your heart. How many of you think that the devil wants to drag you to hell with him? We all know he's going, but how many of you think the devil wants to take you to hell? And if he'd have, and the answer to that is yes. The devil wants to drag every single human being on planet Earth to hell with him. He wants to populate hell. He wants to flood hell full of lost men, women, boys, and girls. And we know that he is being successful because even hell itself has enlarged herself. Making room for more that listen to the lie of the devil. Follow me, I'll make you popular, I'll make you prosperous, I'll make you rich, I'll make you this, I'll make you that. And they followed and they've listened and they've ignored preaching and they've ignored the parents and they've ignored parental guidance and they've ignored gospel exposure. They've ignored it. I don't have time for that. I'm on this trail. I'm pursuing this. I don't have time for that preaching. I don't have time for church. I am not going to an altar. What if the devil had his way with you last night? During the night when you'd pillowed your head and you were in a state of unconsciousness. And if the devil had his way, he would have took you out and you would not be here this morning. That is an undeniable fact. If the devil can get you in hell, he'd rather do it today than tomorrow. He'd rather do it right now. He would have already accomplished it. I got saved at 20. I would have never lived to be 20 years old if the devil had been successful, Brother Mark, in his efforts to take me out. How many in here could say that too? You had some close calls in your life. You had things going on in your life. You had things happen in your life. And you look back at it and you think, then you just kind of, man, I was lucky. You played it off. You explained it away with stuff like that that does not exist. I was lucky. Man, I'm telling you, I don't see how I come out of that alive. Man, I was lucky. No, there's no such thing as luck. You know why that car wreck didn't take you out? The mercy of God was greater than the dragging force and power and intention of the devil to take you to hell. That's right. Thank God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Listen. Look at all those things that could have happened. And you'd have never made it. And you'd have spent an endless, get that now, endless eternity saying, I wished I had listened. I wished I'd have made haste. I wished I'd have gotten a hurry about getting saved. I wished I'd have gotten a hurry. Let me ask you another question. How many, we don't know how many billions probably, billions, no doubt, billions, maybe even trillions of people that are in hell right now beneath our feet would give every, I mean, there's millionaires that's died lost without Jesus. There's people that was very wealthy and people of popularity and all, and they're in hell. They're in hell. We know that Luke 16, there's at least one rich man there, we know. You think they'd want to swap places with you this morning? You think that if we could, and we can't, they can't ever get out, but if we could uncap hell, I wonder how many of them would say, scoot over, let me sit on your pew. And they would send out a word before they even got here. Preacher, please don't quit preaching. Don't quit preaching. I'm on my way. I'm going to get there as soon as I can. Don't quit preaching. Everybody, listen now. I know there's been people go to hell that claim to be atheists. There are no atheists in hell now. They, 1 second after they left this world, they was a believer, but it was too late. Amen. God help us this morning. What are you waiting on? Making haste. Get in a hurry. The devil's word is tomorrow. God's word is today. Today's the day of salvation. Today, now is the accepted time. But tomorrow's always been the devil's word. Hey, you know what he'll never tell you? He'll never tell you don't get saved. Don't get saved. Don't even consider that. Because he knows a lot of times that's just probably going to be played off. I'm not listening to that. I'm going to get saved one day. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to experience the wrath of God. And I want to get saved. So he knows, the devil knows, such as that to play that card would be a waste. So what he does, he says, just wait. I mean, look, you got a lot going on. Look at you. You're young. You're young, you're a good help, and you don't have you got a lot of days and months and years, and you know, hey, why don't you just wait? How many believes that there's people in hell today because they swallowed that lie and they waited? And the unwanted, unexpected enemy made a knock at their door called death, and they weren't ready. Yeah, they weren't ready. I was in a hospital making a visit not long ago, and I asked this individual who could have very well already went into eternity. And I just asked a simple question. Had you not made it, had you died, where would you be today? Brother Aaron, that's been a while back, and I've never forgot the look that came on that face. That stare of emptiness and like reality set in that I am not ready to leave this world. Zacchaeus got saved, not because he had money to pay anything. He got saved, not even because he was popular. Actually, he was hated. He was a tax collector. He got saved. Here's why. He got saved because he sought to see Jesus. And I want to just comment on that a minute. What are you doing to seek after the Lord? He sought to see Jesus. He would have never been in that tree had he not had an interest and a desire stimulated within him to want to go and find out more about Jesus. What are you doing? What are you doing to put yourself where Jesus may cross your path? If I was lost, I'd try, Brother Ben, I'd try to avoid any place that I'm pretty certain Jesus wasn't going to come to. I'd try to avoid the drinking establishments. You know, I mean, it's possible that somebody in there drinking, you know, it's possible they could get a gunner conviction and get, who knows. But the likelihood that Jesus is going to show up down at the Bud Stupid place is unlikely. Is he likely to show up at a Bible preaching church? Is he likely to show up where people are praying? That's where I believe I'd want to frequent that place. I would want to be there every chance I got, because you never know when Jesus is going to call and speak and deal and pass through and save. We had a young man get saved Tuesday night in the revival. He's a teenager. Didn't know this till afterwards. The boy's daddy was a fireman, and he got killed in a fire. He got burned up in a fire, an attempted rescue. He got burned up. So there's his daddy gone. This young boy's mama, because of that tragedy and other things, went to drinking and dope and drugs, and that took her out. So here's a young man, very young, with no daddy and no mama, living with a grandmother. Probably felt no hope in life. But he came to an altar Tuesday night, and he found out he does have a daddy. He has a heavenly father, and he got saved. I tell you how saved he got. He got so saved on Tuesday night, he brought his clothes to get baptized on Wednesday night. He said, I want to get baptized. And Brother Rochester just run him through, buddy. But I told you that to say this. What if that old little boy right there had to give himself to the circumstances? He would have been bitter. He'd have been hateful. All he would have thought about was drugs and drinking, just like his mom, and would have went that direction, and there would have been no hope. But now he's hope. He is smiling, grinning from ear to ear, happy as a bug in a rug. Amen. Didn't change the circumstances. Mom and daddy's still gone. But now he's got a new life, and now he's got a new family. That church has opened up their arms to him, and buddy, I mean, he is just having a time. And oddly enough, his first name is Jake. I ain't no sign. I just thought I'd say that just to encourage you there, say a thing. God's still saving people. God's still saving sinners. Let's all stand to our feet. Miss Paulson, if you'll make your way. Father in heaven, as we come before you in Jesus' name, Lord, we tried to mind you this morning. And I feel like that we did. I feel like that we followed your lead. Through, Lord, the service, and Lord, the appeal that you made to sinners this morning. Dear Lord, it's amazing to me that you would direct us in that fashion. Lord, what I thought we'd be dealing with this morning, we never even got close. But I'm asking you right now, Lord, that you will help us. Help the sinners, help the lost people that are not only present here in this sanctuary, this service this morning, to see the urgency and the necessity of making haste and coming down, humbling themselves, realizing they need mercy. They do not need justice, they need mercy. They need grace, they need the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross. God, I pray they'll make haste. I pray they'll make haste. May parents that know that they have children or a child that's lost, that they would get in an altar and say, God, help me to become more serious about praying over my children, not just praying over my children, praying with them, being an example to them, doing my part to be a witness to them. Parents ought to desire and with all that's within them, Lord, please help me to not be a stumbling block to my children. Lord, that my children would not use me and my foolishness as an excuse of not getting saved. Lord, I believe that we need a revival of seriousness across the board. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd have your way this morning. Lord, we tried our best to follow your lead and throw out the lifeline. And Lord, I ask you, dear Father, that there would be a response as Zacchaeus responded. He made haste, he came down, received him joyfully, and then you went home with him. And I'm certain, Lord, because of what's stated in this passage, I'll meet Zacchaeus one day. Because he got saved, and I have been saved as well. Lord, I pray about the family circle of families right here today. Lord, if Jesus were to come this morning, if Jesus were to come before we close, their family circle would be broken. They'd be part of the family that would go to heaven because they've been saved. And they'd be part of their family that would not go to heaven because they've missed the boat. They've missed out on the opportunity to get saved by the grace of God. And Lord, I know the devil has tried to put things in their life and make those things big when really they are not big at all. The big thing is, where are we going to spend eternity? What have we done with Jesus? So I pray right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, this invitation, that your will would be done and that somebody would get birthed into your glorious family this morning. And what you do for us, Lord, we'll thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' name.